cleared or is he not?
Yeah, he's been cleared, went through the protocol, and got cleared by the independent doctor, so he'll practice today.
Chip, Mark Sanchez has been running the offense. It appears about 2 seconds quicker than Nick Foles has been running it. Is that more of the tempo and the speed and the pace that you like to see so far?
No, it's got nothing to do with it, I think. You're just probably overanalyzing who's in there, who's not in there. Depends on what play calls are going in, what we're trying to do against certain teams. So,
will Tobin start Sunday?
Today's Thursday, so we'll see what happens Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Could sprain an ankle this afternoon, Les. You never know.
But if he doesn't sprain an ankle?
I don't deal in hypotheticals.
Will he be with the first team today?
I don't know. I didn't even talk to Stout about it. So we'll see. Probably. I don't know. It's not as big a deal to us as it is to you guys. So, first drill, you'll see if he's out there or not.
Chip, since the Giants game, you guys have been using a lot more 11 personnel and a lot less 12. What kind of triggered that decision?
A lot of it just depends on who we're playing. Every decision we make is on a weekly basis, and what is a grouping elicit out of another team? You know, so that's part of just the whole thought process as we go in. What do they do going into the game? What do we do going into the game? If we have this on the field, what are they going to do on the field? So what you do in 1 week really doesn't relate to what you do in another week.
Pittsburgh had a big rushing day against Tennessee. How much is that the Bell versus that zero coverage you were talking about, which is risky to big plays?
I think it's got a lot to do with everything. It's got to do with their offensive line. I thought Pittsburgh's offensive line did a really good job. They played a lot of 2 and 3 tight end sets formations and gave them some situations where that. And then Bell had an outstanding game. You know, I think he really, kind of got that thing rolling for him. So it's just it's never just one guy. It's never just a running back. I think it's a total group in terms of how you move the ball offensively. So.
Something like that be a blueprint for you, or is your personnel just so different?
We don't have – we don't look at blueprints like that. I think it's what do you have on your team and how do you put your players in the best position to make plays.
Do you believe trap games exist, and do you think Sunday could be one given, the Cowboys game coming up?
No, I don't – number one, I don't believe in trap games. I think every game, everybody knows in this league, everybody can beat anybody on any given day. There's a million examples of it, and I think it's – it doesn't help anybody if you're looking from one team to go to the next game. The great thing about our league is you only have to play one game a week, so our focus and attention is on the one game we have this week.
A lot of players have talked about how Billy Davis is even keeled regardless of win or lose. Did you know that about him before you hired him, and how valuable is that?
I had some insight into Billy in my research of what he was like as a person, and then getting a chance to interview him and be around him a little bit. I thought that was I think it's a very good quality for a coach to have. I don't think you can get too high. I don't think you can get too low. I think there's an ebb and flow on how things work. I think there's a standard and a vision that we have, and we hold everybody to it. But I think people that just react, and sometimes wear their emotions on their sleeve all the time, sometimes I think that's good in some situations because you can get guys really high, but you can also get guys really low. And it is a long season, and you got to be kind of even-keeled to kind of handle everything that's going to be thrown at you. I mean, you start in July and don't finish till February. You got a lot of different ups and downs in there, and it's how you weather those ups and downs. And I think Billy does a great job with it.
You've talked a lot about how everybody gets reps, everybody gets in there at some point. Does that become harder to do as the year goes along and as you have a couple short weeks?
I mean, obviously your challenge when you get to next week, but, in this week, in our normal week, we still do the same things now that we did earlier in the year, so it's not a challenge when you have a normal week.
How has Jalen Watkins looked at safety, and do you see him staying there pretty much the rest of the season?
I don't. To the second part of that, I don't know where he'll end up the rest of the season because I don't know how the rest of the season will play itself out. You got another injury at corner. He could jump back outside. So he's done a good job. The one thing about Jalen, he's an intelligent football player, so he understands a little bit about the safety playing inside because he's been a nickel for us. So he's been inside and he's got a feel for what the inside portion of our defense looks like as opposed to just being on a corner exclusively as an outside guy. So he was kind of cross-trained a little bit that way. So I think the transition from him going from corner to safety is a little bit easier than going from strictly being an outside corner to safety.
What constitutes a good performance from Mark Sanchez and the way you evaluate
it? I think that it depends on a lot of million different factors. How does he complete the ball? How does he move the team? What decisions does he make? Sometimes a good decision is an incomplete passing situation. So there's a lot in there. I don't think I can put it into a soundbite for you. So,
what's the biggest difference on inside runs this year as opposed to last year in terms of production?
The biggest difference? We're not as successful.
How much do you think Mark Sanchez has progressed? Do you feel like he's gotten even a little more comfortable as he's seeing more playing time in these two starts?
How do I see him? What? You jumped in there quick, so I missed the first part.
How do you feel like he's progressed as he's coming to the starter's role and he's seeing, obviously, more playing time as a starter?
I think he's done a good job. You know, he played a half a game against the Texans. You know, hadn't played before that until preseason game. And then had the Carolina game and the Green Bay game. But I thought, you know, obviously for not playing, he missed an entire year a year ago, you know, with the shoulder injury and was out for an entire season. So I thought for the time we've had him for the half of the Texans game and then the two games since then, I think he's done a nice job. So
you said you haven't been as successful. In your estimation, what have been the main reasons for that?
We've come up a lot short in our yards game than we did last year.
When you look at Mark from the game against the Panthers to now, what's like the most discernible step you'd like to see him take?
I don't think we look at discernible steps, and that's never a concept in terms of what we look for. Our entire attention is always a one-week deal, is how do we prepare and how do we play our best game against the Tennessee Titans, and that's it. I don't say, hey, this is where you were last week. Let's make this step this week, and then they take another step next week. It's, you know, he's played a lot of quarterback in this league. He's been very successful at what he's done. And I thought he played well against Green Bay. He made a really bad decision on the pass where Peppers dropped into coverage. But besides that, I thought he did a really good job.
What has Mettenberger showed you in his small sample size?
He's got an NFL arm, you know, and I think that kind of jumps out on the tape when you watch him make all the throws that he makes. The other thing is there's a toughness to him. I think he stands in the pocket. He does not look at the rush. He kind of doesn't pay attention to anything going on in front of him. He doesn't get his eyes down at times. When he's in his drop, he's in his drop. He's looking for the open receivers and doing a really good job of putting the ball on guys. You know, for a young rookie, sometimes you can get there's a lot of different things going on, so your mind's kind of in a lot of different places. He seems to be able to focus in despite what's going on around him, and will stand in there and throw the football. So he's got some toughness to him. Obviously, he's got some resiliency to him. He opened up the game throwing a pick to Pittsburgh on Monday night, but then came back and really, I thought, played well and performed well in their offense and put him in a position where they were up, you know, in the second half. So I think for a young quarterback to not get rattled like that, I think it says a little bit about what his mental toughness is about. So
what are the advantages of going with two tight ends?
The advantages? Depends on a lot of it all depends on the defense. If they're going to stay in nickel, then I think you gain an advantage in the run game. If they're going to stay in base, then you may have an advantage throwing the ball, depending on who your tight ends are. So,
do you have an advantage with Mettenberger being making his fourth start on a short week? Can you press that?
You hope, but I don't know enough about him in the short time that he's been in the league to kind of say, hey, we've got. You know, this is going to be difficult for him or not be difficult for him. Sometimes there's not enough tape out there to see really what has affected him in terms of is it more of a blitz look? Is it less of a blitz look? Is it more of a coverage aspect of it? Is it more of a disguise aspect of it? But he has been impressive in the games that he's been in there because a lot of rookies, I think, kind of, again, like I said earlier, will watch the rush and look at some other things, and he seems to be pretty focused in terms of where he's trying to get the football. So.
Sanchez and Sproles seems like they've missed on a few big play opportunities, just missed. Has that been a timing thing, or what have you seen?
Yeah, I think it's probably a situation where just a lot more reps for Mark and a lot more reps for Darren. You know, they did get a chance to work a lot in the preseason together, but then Mark missed usually when we're in there during the year, you know, in those games before Nick went down, that Mark's usually, when Mark's in there, Mark's running with the second group. So he's, it depends on what we're doing, if they're in with the first group. They've got some times, but we're trying to get them a little bit more extended practice time out here where they get a chance to kind of hook up and get together. So.
You said earlier this week you guys come in right after the game Sunday with Dallas. What's the specifics to that? What's different about this Sunday night compared to two other Sunday nights?
Because we got to play a game in 4 days. So we don't have 7 days to play a game. So we need to be prepared to have a game plan in, ready to go on Monday morning, when usually we don't have to have a game plan in until Tuesday. So.
You mentioned yesterday that Celek's blocking has been a big part in why he's still playing a decent amount. Is it that he's 50-50 in terms of run pass when he's in there? Is there an advantage to that as well?
It's not just his blocking. I think he's done everything well. I thought he's catching – when the ball's thrown to him, he's done a really good job. You know, you look at what he did in the Carolina game, thought he did a really good job in terms of when the ball's thrown to him. I think Brent's really produced for us. So he's a complete tight end in my mind. So it's not just one aspect of his game. It's a total aspect of his game.
I was just wondering if the fact that he can do both – or he's 50-50 in terms of pass or run, so defense isn't really sure where he's when Ertz is in there. It's like 80% that you guys are going to throw.
Yeah, because Ertz plays – Ertz plays a little bit more on third down. So, you know, that's a statistic that goes to the National Football League. I think anybody that's on the field in third down is going to be on the field for more passes than they are runs.
So many of our Marcus Smith questions are about defense, but special teams-wise, he's athletic. Is he a candidate to get in there?
He's a candidate to get in there, but you can't trust everybody for every game. So, you know, he hasn't beaten out the guys that kind of play his position, the Trey Burtons who have been outstanding. We've got a couple guys with that body type, Brian Braman, Trey Burton, and James Casey, who have done an outstanding job. And they're three of our better special teams players, so they're three guys to kind of unseat. You know, he's not a wing. He's not a personal protector. He's not a gunner. He's not a long snapper. So then all of a sudden when you look at the positions that that body type plays for us on special teams, there's only a select amount of guys that are in there. And we happen to have three, I think, of the better ones in the league right now, in Trey and James and Brian, obviously. So
how has Nick been dealing with the disappointment of the injury and also working alongside Mark?
I think that's a great thing about Nick. I mean, obviously he is disappointed, but he doesn't show that. You know, all he wants to do is what can we do to help us win this week? And he's been a great teammate. And I think if you guys had seen Mark, how Mark handled it when he was the backup with him, I think that both of those guys kind of feed off each other. They're always having discussions on what looks they saw and how did they kind of see it. We've got a great quarterback room in terms of how those guys get along with Coach Musgrave, so it's been a good setup. And all he right now is just, what can I do to get this better? And he's working extremely hard with our strength and conditioning coaches in terms of training so that when he gets healed, when the bone is healed and he's cleared to play, then he'll be in shape to play. It's not going to be one of those, all right, now I'm cleared, now I need 2 to 3 weeks to get up to speed because I haven't really done anything. He's been working his tail off. He's had workouts. You know, last week he worked out at the hotel. He worked out at the stadium when we were up at Green Bay. So he's working extremely hard from that aspect, and he's been great. I know he's disappointed because he's a competitor and he wants to play, but he also knows the reality of it. Until the bone heals, there's nothing he can really do about that. So,
how important is it to have the one and the two QB have a good relationship, a good working relationship? We've seen the other side of that.
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate here. I thought Mike and Nick handled it extremely well, and I think obviously Mark and Nick have handled it well, and I think it says something to your whole team has to be that way too. It doesn't matter if it's just the one and two quarterback, it's got to be the one and two safeties, it's got to be, you know, everybody kind of understand. And I think that's what we have. We've got a bunch of guys that truly care about the final outcome of the team in terms of how we're going to be successful. And if you can't be a player that plays, it's no different than how D'Amico is right now. Todd Herrmann is with us right now, Alan Barbary, Najee Good, all those guys, they all still want to see the Philadelphia Eagles 2014 version be successful, and that's a great thing about this team right now. So